check out.
Wait. Let's do a pause. Hey, if you want to check out and support Troy Trilzerian and his efforts in being the best jujitsu practitioner and support the Trilzerian show, you can donate as a gift on paypalme.com/the Trilzerian show.
Nice. There we go. But yeah, keep listening, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating.
5-star. All right.
Episode of the Trilzerian Show. With me and Julio.
Episode 11.
Damn.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We're like almost professional now.
I mean, pretty much. I think we've
semi-pro.
Like smoothed it out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so.
I'm really proud of you. You got some good people on here.
Proud
some
of
good
you.
Interviews.
Yeah. So good at all the stuff that you do, you know?
Well, I mean, you've been interviewing so many people, like, I want the listeners to get to know you. Mm. I'm just gonna go ahead and take this off because we sound all right.
Great. And
let's make this as natural as possible.
Sound like a plan, Stan.
Stan. My name's Hula Pop.
Okay, Hula Pop. Sounds like a plan, Hula Pop.
usually you ask like what's the first hour of your day? Mm. Yeah?
First sip of real whiskey.
There we go. Put some
tasty.
Hair on your chest.
I'm really surprised by the flavor of that.
It has a very like interesting
like
flavor profile. Yes, the vanilla and
yeah.
Like there's like some good oak in there.
Mm. Mm. Okay, so now I'm a whiskey drinker. That's kind of
cool.
There
you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's legit.
It is.
He likes some good whiskey.
Mm-hmm. I can get down with that for sure. I like it.
So you don't start your day out with whiskey, and if you do, no judgment here, because
no.
That's totally okay.
Yeah, typically I wait till the end of the day to get intoxicated.
Typically,
but,
okay.
Know,
look, listen.
I like to party.
Best thing
uh-huh.
after some good rolls,
uh-huh.
cold cider.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, are
I
you on board?
That. I don't drink cider very often.
There
so,
you go.
You know.
I mean,
to
each
his
own. Yeah. Jinxes.
Jinx, yeah.
Damn it. Oh.
That is awesome. Yeah. So
what is the first, like, 60 to 90 minutes? What's the first part of your day like?
First part of my day. That's kind of cool that I'm being asked that now, because I ask everyone else that.
No one ever asks how you're doing.
No, they don't. Yeah, they do. But not on the podcast.
Well, here.
Yeah. So I wake up. I roll out of bed. I've been waking up.
Do you break fall?
Earlier. Sometimes I have to break fall.
Sometimes you have to
Depends
break fall.
Depends how the
okay.
night before went. But yeah, then I'll roll out, get onto my little chair, and do my like 10 to 20 minute meditation. Practice my mindfulness. So that's like how I like to start the day. And then everything else, I feel like I can take it in stride a little bit better. I'm less reactive and more mindful
okay.
of what I'm doing. So that's like first thing whenever I wake up, meditate, you know?
So do you, like, just sit straight up? Or do you cross your legs? Do you lay back? Do you, like, om or make
no.
any sort of sound?
That's actually, like, a cool question because I feel like so many people think that meditation has to be, like, oming and, like,
yeah,
this,
like
your spiritual thing. But
like, if you fart,
just,
is that awkward?
You can totally,
I mean,
fart.
Sometimes.
I have some of the best farts whenever I meditate. And I'm, like, the weirdo that's, like, good job, like, that smells nice, you know? I'm, like, is that weird? Because some people, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody about
that's
this.
Not weird. It's not weird.
I, like, appreciate the smell of my own fart sometimes.
Sometimes.
Especially if I've had red meat the night before. It's got, like, this musty smell to it. I don't know. Yeah, so we went there, but
already,
yeah.
It's not even 5 minutes in.
Sniff your own fart sometimes, guys. It's like, you'd be surprised.
You gotta know yourself.
You might be impressed by your handiwork.
How can I beat someone else if I don't know myself?
Exactly. If you don't love your own farts, how could you love someone else's farts?
That's life advice. in the first 5 minutes.
Take that to
with
heart.
Troy Trilzerian. That is some life shit right there. Okay.
Amen.
So yeah, back to it. What does meditation? What is that like for you? Like, do you close your eyes?
I don't om.
Occasionally fall asleep.
I try not to fall asleep. Sometimes sometimes I won't roll out of bed and I'll just try to start meditating and I always fall asleep. So now I have to get out of bed for sure. But for most of the time, I'll use this app called Headspace. I wish I could think of the dude who runs its name, but he's like super chill, down to earth dude that just guides you through like simple ideas and things to allow thoughts to pass, or if you're trying to like learn how to focus, he'll have you focus on something lightly and allow other thoughts to pass. It's really just, for me, a way of clearing the mind and like allowing thoughts to come and go, you know, because so many times we'll find ourselves like trying to force thoughts or try to like make ourselves not think about certain things, and then it's like, oh shit, I'm thinking about it again. Fuck, what do I do, you know?
Right,
and it gets like frustrating almost. So learning those techniques of like letting thoughts come and go, things like that, that's kind of what meditation is for me. It's just like letting my mind be as it wants to be and then not trying to like interfere. I think he uses a really, Andy Pudcombe, that's his name.
Andy Pudcombe, okay. Mm-hmm.
So he's a gangster, like mindfulness gangster, black belt level for sure. If not like red belt, because he made the app that's got like millions of people practicing mindfulness now, which I think is incredible, because it can be such a scary, like intimidating thing, I think.
Yeah.
And if you just do like 10 minutes a day, then you're not trying to like do anything really, you're just clearing your mind. It makes it really simple to where anyone can
I think
it.
A lot of people are afraid of themselves or afraid to face the reality of themselves.
Yeah.
So that's like, I mean, that's super empowering that you can do that. And you're like, let's remind the listeners, you're how old?
24.
Mm-hmm. 24, and like you're really delving into the person that you are and the person that you want to become. Mm-hmm. Like you're just doing that in the first 10 minutes of your day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
so huge leg up on anybody that thinks that they're going to stand across from me in a
like,
in a
look,
cage
listen,
or
old
a
people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I got this.
I know myself, so I know what you're thinking too.
Mm.
You know. But yeah, so mindfulness is the shit, and I highly recommend Headspace to anybody that's listening. It's like makes it really easy and like manageable, because at first I thought like, oh, you got to sit there and om for an hour and sit in some funky ass position, but he just has you sit in a chair, put your hands on your legs or in your lap if you want to. I try and like focus on posture a little bit too, because I think it helps with the breath.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't even have to do that. You can slouch if you normally slouch or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. You just try and let thoughts come and go. And then, yeah, the idea, that's what I was about to say, is he talks about mindfulness as like watching the traffic instead of trying to like jump out in the middle of the road and like direct traffic. Like, the cars are your thoughts, and so just let them go by like they would, you know.
So you're not going to be Frogger. You're going to be the guy in the woods just chilling. You're Sasquatch.
I'm just watching.
You're just Sasquatching.
I'm like observing from afar.
And that's totally cool.
Those puny humans doing that.
That's fucking rad.
I thought it was a great like little analogy or whatever for mindfulness. So
for sure.
Rock on, Andy Pudcombe.
Yeah.
Hope I said his name right. He'll be okay with it. If not, he's so chill.
It's okay. We'll Twitter him. Everyone tweets nowadays.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's the first 10 minutes, and that's the only thing we've talked about. Come
tell me more.
Here
we go. And then I do, like, my morning dump, so.
Gotta get it in. Do you have to move around first? Do you got to do some stretches?
No, it just comes, it's ready.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like 7:30, ready to go.
All right. So. Do not call him under any circumstances around 7:30.
Yeah, sometimes Seth will call me while I'm taking my morning dump. Be like, what's up, dude? How are you? Be like, I'm just taking my morning shit, you know?
There you go.
Great way to start the day. So, morning shit. Then I wash my hands.
Good call.
Brush my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you gotta, you can't.
You gotta do it. You can't do it beforehand.
Exactly.
You gotta get an order down.
Mm-hmm. Then after I've brushed my teeth, I go and fry 6 eggs and 2 pieces of bacon.
Whole eggs?
Yes, whole eggs, yolk pork and everything. Bacon? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, wouldn't have it any other way. Because turkey bacon, we all know it's like kind of the Homie same, but not even close.
It's not.
So yeah, it's like ghee and no ghee, you know, you got to have grips. So, but I like no ghee too, so. Yeah, and then I make my organic coffee, 8 ounces of organic coffee with a teaspoon of butter and a little bit of local honey.
Grass-fed butter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, okay. Salted, only unsalted?
Unsalted for the coffee. All salted right. for the eggs.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And that's breakfast pretty much every day, unless I feel like fasting. Some days I'll, like, fast until 1 or 2. But not as much lately, because of the book that I was reading by Miyamoto Musashi, the Book of Five Rings. He says, do not fast so that it affects you physically. So on days that I have to be physically active and stuff, I don't really fast as much, which I was, and I felt it taken away from my training. So I was like, well, Miyamoto, you got something, you know, you really.
Well, and there's something to be said about body experimentation. Like, for sure. You got to do what works for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm gluten-free because mm-hmm. I feel I perform better. Tough. My husband isn't because he feels he performs better mm-hmm. not being gluten-free.
Exactly.
And I mean, it's to each their own.
There's
so.
No wrong or right, yeah.
Right, but mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you're taking time out of your life mm-hmm. to experiment and really listen and be in tune with your body. It goes back to that meditation and that yeah. mindfulness. Mm-hmm. It's really like getting to know your mechanics and who you are and, you know, how you function.
Absolutely.
God damn, that's only the morning. Only the first, like, 60 minutes of your day.
Yes.
So tell me what the rest of your day is like. You're 24, you're young, mm-hmm. you're single. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, I have my lovely breakfast. Some days I drive my mom to work after that, just because I recently crashed my car. But there's another episode about that. You guys will hear all about it.
Yeah,
I recorded that from my bedroom, so it's like,
yeah, that's intense.
Intimate little intense kind of session. It's like 45 minutes of me just talking, which it was cool.
I'm really looking forward to that, by the way. Like,
yeah,
that's,
I've been too scared to send it to you so far.
Cause oh,
it's
no.
like, so
it's like, it's very raw.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like, I haven't heard it yet, but mm-hmm. I feel like after such a catastrophic moment like mm-hmm. that, or not catastrophic, mm-hmm. but just like self-realization or yeah. life realization moment.
Absolutely.
Like that of totaling your car and being mm-hmm. in a car wreck, like, you can be really vulnerable, and that's scary.
Mm-hmm. So it is, but I'm gonna send it once I man up or whatever. But yeah, you guys will hear that and hear all about that. So that's why I've been driving my mom to work. Normally, if I'm not doing that, I'll go straight to Green Strength with Luke Tyree, and he'll put me through a hellacious 2-hour workout normally. And I'll learn all kinds of ways to be mindful in my body with connectivity through my movement, and getting stronger, lifting heavier weights, all the time. And that's
right.
Yeah,
so we've had him on, the show, and, mm-hmm. You mentioned him and you spending time over there and mm-hmm. lifting. Are you doing more like, Olympic lifts or just power lifts? Are you doing more body movement?
It's like, I know Cody hates this term, but it's like functional strength
functional.
Movement.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally agree with
like
you.
Like, being strong in one direction can be really helpful with that one movement, but if you're strong in lots of different directions with lots of different movements, mm-hmm. I think it can be applicable in lots of different ways. So
especially in jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely, because you never know.
You
like,
move every which way.
Yeah, I gotta move all kinds of the ways whenever Julia's trying to kick my ass.
All of the ways.
All of the ways.
You go
yeah.
in, out, you go upside down, uh-huh. you shake it all around.
You shake it all around. That's a really good. If you haven't done jiu-jitsu, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
We'll see you Monday.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think this happened last time where uh-huh. Cody was cooking
uh-huh.
during the podcast, and
nice.
You can hear him just.
I kind of like the little extra noises in the background. I feel like it makes it real, like they're here, you know?
Yeah, like we're just sitting down.
Yeah,
having
yeah.
Because so
that's
beats.
What everyone tells me is like, we so enjoy that it's just like informal. It feels like so natural. And so I think a lot of people like that about this podcast. It's not the Joe Rogan Experience. It's not the Tim Ferriss Show. But it's the Trilzerian show, motherfucker.
It is the Trilzerian show.
It's different.
It is definitely yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people do enjoy it. I'm really excited to get this blown up for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It sounds like he stopped beeping. Cool. Okay. So we got the first 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got your lifting. We're talking about your functional movement.
Functional movement.
Okay.
So kettlebell stuff, pushing sleds, pull-ups, push-ups. I will do like some Olympic lifting as far as deadlifting and squatting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if bench press counts as one, but
powerlifting.
So, yeah. But lifting like medicine balls, carrying them around, walking outside, all of it. So crawling on the ground.
So do you ever experiment with doing more conventional things like doing a sprint workout or going out for a run or?
Sure. I do a lot of sprinting. Some of it is on an aerodyne bike. Well, most of it is on an aerodyne bike.
Cause okay.
It's so low impact on the joints. And my knees will hurt if I, like, go for a run outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what am I, 18 years of grappling in now?
Because leg locks.
Yeah, leg locks. And wrestling. All
yeah.
my shots
oh, geez.
For 10 years of wrestling. Like, my knees are janky from that, too. So,
No shit, 10 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah, so I started wrestling in fourth grade until I was a junior, almost a senior in high school, and then I stopped before my senior year.
Okay, so you were born and raised in Edmond, Oklahoma,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just competed in,
yeah.
I mean, like, Oklahoma is like,
yeah, it's like
the wrestling state.
For wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the Wrestling Hall of Fame mm-hmm. up in OSU.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to wrestle with some of those guys. I can't think of any of their. Teon Ware was one of them. He wrestled at OU. He's a monster. Hardell Moore was actually my first wrestling coach back in like fourth, fifth, all the way through eighth or ninth grade. He was my wrestling coach. Andy Schneider, he's not like, I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame, but he's a phenomenal athlete. And Rick Don Ballenbeck is an incredible, he was like one of my favorite mentors that I've ever had. He's just an incredible human being and like the most badass older dude that can wrestle your socks off like nobody's business. So the list goes on. I've got to work with a lot of incredible people. Kelly Gregg, who was like a multiple time All-American wrestler and All-American football player that went on to play in the NFL. So, you know.
So, and I mean, I feel like you're an influence on your younger brother, who's mm-hmm. also a wrestler and
yeah.
also in jiu-jitsu, who's
exactly.
a blue belt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he started wrestling at 4 years old. So,
wow.
Actually, I think that was his first tournament, so he probably started a little sooner than that. But
so you guys are both, like, really fit guys. Did you ever wrestle in, like, super heavyweight, or did you have to cut, like? Because I know that that's an issue with,
they
like,
had, yeah,
younger
they had
kids.
Me cut weight because I was still kind of around towards the end of that phase. But as soon as Tristan got into it, I saw, like, that cutting weight had stunted my growth and that it fucking sucks.
You think?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that's why he's so much taller than me already. I'm going to blame it on that at least, you know? Because, yeah, he already towers over me and I'm not cool with it. But that's because I never let him cut weight.
That's
you know,
good.
His coaches would be like, you need to cut to get to this. I would go talk to the coach and be like, fuck that. It's not happening, you know? Like,
right.
He's going to be enormous, and we're not stunning his growth for some stupid tournament. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's irrelevant. If he gets beat by the bigger kids, then that's
get better.
Gonna, yeah, exactly. That's going to make him better in the long run.
Yeah.
Like, we're creating a diamond here, so we need insane amounts of pressure, and we're not going to get that at the highest level if we're cutting weight, you know? He's not going to perform to the best of his ability, so.
That's really cool to hear that, especially, like, you sticking up for your younger brother
mm-hmm.
And for him to have a mentor like you. There is an appropriate way to cut weight
oh, for, sure.
for adults,
mm-hmm.
I don't think,
I
and I am fully of the opinion that children should not cut weight.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there is a right way for someone that's, their growth plates have finished closing up and all of that, they're done growing. They can cut a little bit of weight or a lot of weight if they do it the right way. Like
right.
you cut a bunch of weight and
yeah.
you're healthy, so
yeah,
you know, like you're still alive and all of
I'm
that.
I'm still
good
alive.
Stuff.
Yeah, I still breathe.
You look at Chris Cyborg cutting weight and fuck that noise.
That's gnarly.
Yeah,
that
she
is,
looks like she's a skeleton or something.
I don't know if she can have a child.
Probably not. She's right. probably done a lot of like long-term damage to her body.
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on there with, yeah, sure, you know, the performance and stuff. Yeah.
But,
yeah. yeah. But, I mean, that's for another thing. Yeah. Let's get back to you. So, you meditate, you get breakfast, you go lift, and then what happens?
And then
I feel like that's, is that all before noon?
This is all, yes. Yeah,
Jesus
usually
Christ.
Done with strength and conditioning around 10 o'clock. And then I'll go to train normally, at least on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'll go train with Heath Harvey in the mornings. And
who's a stud, a brown belt,
yeah,
under Seth Norman.
Gangster,
yeah,
ass Seth Norman
gangster.
Brown belt. Who will under overpass your guard no matter what you think
all
you're
day.
Gonna do. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He'll pass it and then go back and then just
pass, and then pass
just to pass,
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, exactly.
He's what
a
we call pass a hole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's how you know you're like homies, whenever you finish each other's sentences at least 5 times in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so train with Heath. Sometimes Wade will be up there. We've done a podcast with Wade McGrew already.
Yeah, that was a really good podcast. I feel like that was episode 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Go back and just listen to all of them,
yeah,
if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And really check out the one with Miles Wade McGrew. He's
a
very interesting,
intelligent young man with a lot to say. So
yeah,
he's got some very cool insight on some different things that you don't probably normally hear about.
Yeah.
Mycology, you know, different literature, stuff like that. So he's an interesting fella.
But all right, so you go roll, get some rounds in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever just sit and theorize like with these people about jujitsu? Like, I know jujitsu is a huge part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the application of it is one thing, but do you ever just sit and like talk jujitsu? And when you do you ever be like, ah, bitch, please, you don't know what you're talking about?
I try to do as little bitch pleasing as possible, just
okay,
because I feel like you can learn something from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say I've never bitch pleased anybody, because, oh, it's happened, and probably more than it should have. But I feel like whenever I do that to people, then they're like less likely to share their thoughts and ideas. Like, maybe the next time they really have something important or something that I would grow from, they may be like, oh, well, last time he talked shit about what I said, so I don't want to share this with him.
Okay.
So even if I don't agree with it, I'll try to bitch please as kindly as possible. Be like, well, bitch, what if we did it this way instead? You know?
That's super insightful. Like, no, that's I appreciate that, because you're still taking other people's, you're like a sponge right now, especially,
yes,
at the purple belt level,
mm-hmm,
where you're kind of not really finding who you are, you're just,
mm-hmm,
like solidifying who you are and bringing,
mm-hmm,
in all these extra,
yeah,
all these extra elements,
mm-hmm,
just,
yeah,
to tack on to add to your tool belt.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm trying to just be a student of the game, and it's like, you know, there is something that I even learned today in my rounds. We rolled a bunch of rounds today, and it was like someone that I normally beat, who's not at the same rank as me, but they had like an awesome counter for one of my go-to moves, like my under overpass. He hit the slickest loop choke from there, and I was like, holy shit, dude, no one's ever done that from there, and that's the perfect, like, that's the perfect antidote for this really, really strong pass that I have. And it's what Heath catches with me with all the time. So his ass should probably listen to this.
We're going to see, this is the test.
Exactly.
Like, coming for you, Heath.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I learned from someone who's a lower rank than me, and who I can normally, you know, get the better of. And after I was like, wow, dude, that was incredible, he was like, well, what about this thing that you did? So he was able to take something away from, I think he tried to hit a hook sweep, and I cartwheeled with it to pass the guard. And he was like, how did you do that? And so I showed him, and we were able to kind of get this cool give and take where we both really took something from it. So, yeah, you can learn something from anyone.
You're a high-ranking purple belt at our school, and you're very well respected as an athlete and as a person. Do you ever feel like you have to maintain a certain status, or like you can't get submitted, or you know what I mean? Like, I can't get beat by anyone,
sure,
lower than me, or
sure,
any of that.
I used to really feel pressured like that, probably more as a blue belt. But now it's like, I know that I'm putting the work in. I know that I roll more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be real. Not,
yeah.
You know?
You roll a
That's
lot.
My job. So I roll more than anyone, I think. Probably in Oklahoma. If not, you know, I think that there's some people that probably train more than me, but like 1% of the population, if that. So I train a lot. I do a lot of strength and conditioning. I'm doing all the work. So if I'm tired and a skilled, fresh guy, or even if they're tired too, if somebody catches me, then that's like, that's what I want, you know? I want to be caught. So if a white belt catches me, I need to look at how he did that, and then I'll go back and work and refine that technique so that I don't get caught next time. Like, I want to get caught so that I can learn, but I don't want to get caught again. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
So
you don't like, want to get caught on, like, the big stage. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Exactly. So yeah. I want to get caught as much in practice. I want to train with the guys that can fuck me up as often as possible.
Yep.
And then when you guys go see me compete, that's the product of...
You just want to slay through
heavy
people.
Pressure. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, trying to create a diamond.
I think that's a really interesting take, because there's a lot of white belts that are like, oh, you know, I got my ass kicked today. Mm-hmm. I'm always getting my ass kicked.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get any better. And it's like, that's how you learn.
Exactly.
You think that we got to where we're at? Like, did Troy and Julia get to where we're at by winning all the time? By killing everyone during practice? No, I got my ass kicked.
Exactly.
And I still do every fucking day.
Yeah.
Troy will catch me in the slickest sweeps, slickest sweeps, slickest arm bars. Shut up, Cody. And I mean, like, this is a whole learning process. There's a fear of failure, but it's more of like a lesson learned rather than failing.
Exactly.
And I think that's a really important thing that you're touching upon.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something that you said that this is your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is your lifestyle. This is your livelihood.
Exactly.
Did you ever aspire to be anything else? Did you ever, like, want to be a vet or?
That is a good question, you know.
Because you said you wrestled for 10 years. And, I mean, like,
so
you can't really wrestle professionally unless you're, like,
yeah, exactly.
WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
yeah,
as much as I'd
Olympics.
Like to see you in, like, a little leotard, it's not.
Giving people the people's elbow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see you doing that. So did you ever...
Yeah, I actually had, like, whenever I started wrestling, the goal was to wrestle at OSU and to, like, go through to college doing that. And then I kind of lost my drive for wrestling and thought maybe I'll be an author because I like to write, and I still write a lot, and I probably will publish a book eventually whenever the training slows down. And then, like, in high school, I kind of thought maybe psychology is the route that I'll take. That actually was for several years that I thought I would be a psychologist. And went to, like, college to do the pre-whatever, like, the stuff everyone has to do. And, like, couldn't pass math and stuff like that. So.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never had to use statistics in my life. And
exactly.
I'm a scientist.
Yeah,
like, it's retarded.
So, yeah.
Anyways. A very
math-based. They say that, like, math is the language of science or something like that. So if you're a scientist and you can get away without using math.
Look, listen.
I don't need to pass fundamental algebra 1 or 2, which I couldn't. So, or I didn't feel like applying myself to. I was smoking a lot of weed back then. But but yeah, that was kind of like, I went for the psychology thing a little bit because I so enjoy, like, seeing how people think, and I'm like a empathetic person. I think I go off of people's vibes a lot, so that felt like a natural path for me until I realized that it wasn't. And at that point I was getting pretty heavily into jiu-jitsu. And, you know, Seth started talking to me about, like, you can make a life from this, you know.
Coaching, like, running your own school.
Exactly.
And
competing and all of that stuff. Like, and I was like, well, this is what I love to do, you know. I love to, like, competing is my favorite thing in the world to do. Like, hands down, very favorite thing to do in the whole world. Yeah, it really is. Because I go out there, like, my favorite thing when I'm training is to have, like, a pretty girl watching me, or, like, you know, like,
watch this.
Anyone.
Hold my beer.
Exactly, yeah. Like, anyone that's watching me, I'll try to, I can't help it. I'll like look and make eye contact, and then it's like, I'll be like, all right, now I'm going to play around a little
bit. I'm going to get this girl.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to submit this guy, and then I'm going to walk over and get
exactly.
her number.
Exactly, yeah. So I like to perform. It's like, I put all this work into getting good at what I do, and I want people to see it, so.
Do you ever get nervous?
For competition?
For competing, yeah.
That's a good question. For a while, I got extremely nervous. More wine, I think. I got extremely nervous for a while.
I'm trying to get a drink over here. Sorry.
No worries.
Continue.
You're all good. I would get really nervous for a while. And like, I actually, as a white belt, I got the nickname Ralph because I would throw up on the mat.
Oh, no.
Like, on a regular basis, 4 or 5 different times.
Did you?
Yeah, in the finals.
Did you ever get DQ'd?
Oh,
The finals?
Every time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I would be so nervous, and it was like everyone expected me to win, and I would let all that pressure really get to me, and I would throw up. It was also because my diet was bad. I would drink like a half gallon of milk or eat a huge breakfast and then smoke like a fat joint and then go compete. And it was just, referees did not approve. They were not cool with that. Neither were my opponents because I threw up on them sometimes. That'd be like projectile vomit. Andy Nguyen, when we fought his white belts, he's like one of my homies. He's a purple belt. We're both purple belts now. We've like came up through the ranks together. But yeah, like in the finals, we were wrestling really hard, and he was a better wrestler than me, so I was like working double hard, and then they stop us to tie our belts, and I feel like it coming, and I can't get out of the way, like it's just gonna happen, and bleh, like all over Andy. I tried to like catch
Andy,
some of it into the gi. I like try to throw up into the gi
inside of it.
Yeah, and so I had like a gi full of throw up and an opponent that was thrown up on and got DQ'd. So
wow.
Yeah, so that was the really nervous Troy.
Okay.
And then,
that's got, not you now.
No. And then I got really into mindfulness and meditation, and kind of went to the other side of the spectrum to where I was like too relaxed, to where I was like lackadaisical and not like hitting where I need to hit, like
right.
I was too slow, too like not in the zone. So then like recently I think I found that happy medium of being like finding a good amount of nervousness just to keep myself aware and to keep myself like focused and present and all of that, but then relaxed enough to where I'm not going to throw up, you know.
Right.
So
right, yeah,
it's like that kind of happy medium to where I can bring the intensity that I need to without making myself so nervous that I can't think calmly. So yeah, it's not easy. I think that's what a lot of black belts and like really like anyone finds to get good at competition. Like I'm sure you kind of feel the same way about your MMA. like, you have a high level of intensity, but it's like a calm intensity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're relaxed but you're also coiled. Like if you see a snake before it strikes, it's not
super
like,
chill.
Yeah.
Like it's already warned you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That rattle went off 5 uh-huh. minutes ago.
Yeah.
Now it's chill. It's
you're
the calm before the storm. That's your
that
fucking
ass.
Problem.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, trying to kind of be like that, and I think it's worked out well for the last several competitions, you know. I felt like just enough nerves to keep myself honest and be able to do my job, so, yeah.
Well, if you don't retain any fear anymore, then mm-hmm. you've already mastered your art and it's time to move on, you know what I mean? I feel like having a certain sense of fear, because this is a battle, this is a death game,
mm-hmm.
as Seth so eloquently put.
Oh, for sure.
This is a death game, and mm-hmm. you know, if you're not afraid of the repercussions of it, or
mm-hmm.
the possible repercussions,
yeah.
then like, why even do it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? This is, you're testing yourself.
Yeah.
You're a fucking samurai.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not out there to die.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get me started on the samurai stuff. I've been reading so much samurai shit lately.
And, like, now as an adult, I'm like, oh, I want to read everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, Netflix.
Nice. I'm bringing you the Book of Five Rings.
Yes, I would love to read that.
Yeah.
I actually, so I found the fungus one.
Oh, nice.
I have that. Yeah. And I
the
have...
The one that Wade recommended.
I have the meditation by that
by
one.
By Marcus Aurelius.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have both of those.
Nice.
So I found them because you recommended them earlier. Nice. And I was like, I'm going to fucking read them.
Hell yeah.
And I haven't. So I'm going to try. I'm going to do Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance right now.
Ooh.
So.
Sounds fun.
Or at least attempting to. So... Pi is loving up. The dogs were actually really good this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, shit. Okay. So, where were we? We're talking about
nervousness
your...
And competition.
Your nervousness.
Yeah. So...
So, your last competition, you mm-hmm. went for a title match, and it was... Yep. It didn't come out to your favor, but it was right. by decision. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about those competitions where it goes to points? Do you yeah. feel like you could have done more? Do you feel like you've done as much as you should have?
That particular match, I felt that I maybe could have done more. I thought that I was dominant enough to get the decision, and then I kind of played a more reserved game to keep myself from, like, getting submitted or whatever. So I could have, I think that strategically I could have played a little bit smarter there. But, yeah, anytime it goes to the judge's decision, I'm not satisfied whether I win or lose. You know, I always want to submit the guy.
I totally agree.
So, yeah, that's what I train for. I'm not, like, a points player or whatever. So, I prefer, yeah, definitely to go to submission. But, you know, it doesn't always work out that way.
So, how do you accomplish that during practice? Because I know, like, there's a heavy influence, and I, you've actually told me this before, like, hold that submission mm-hmm. because I need to work to get out of it.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah.
how do you find that balance of, like, I don't want to be an asshole, so I'm not going to mm-hmm. hold this choke or this mm-hmm. armbar or whatever, mm-hmm. but, you know, I'm not going to crank. Like, do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. So, I think Bernardo Faria is the one that said this. He said, you make it to a good position. If you don't find the submission within 5 seconds, you move on. If you make it to, like, a submission hold and you don't get the tap within 5 seconds, you move on. So that's kind of, like, a rough guideline. I don't follow it, like, super specifically, but I kind of keep that in mind as I train. So I want to feel the full application of all of my submissions. You'll never see me, like, snap on something to where someone doesn't have time to tap unless they've tried to hurt me. That's a different story. But, yeah, I'll try to apply the submission to where they have time to tap, get the finish, move on. If I don't get the finish, then I'll move on to the next chain of attack or the next position. So, and that's something that I want to see you do, too. It's like, you have awesome, you've, like, got me in some nasty ankle locks and knee bars and stuff. And then you let go before I could try to defend, you know? And I think you might have been able... I think in a lot of those cases, you would have finished it, so...
Well, it's terrifying.
And you're being, like... You're being nice, you know?
Right. It's one of those,
like,
things, yeah.
Respectful and a loving training partner, which is great. But, you know, finish... If you can finish, you're not going to hurt my feelings, you know? I want you to be able to finish me, like I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
If you were able to catch me with something, that means there's a hole in my game that I need to work on.
Right.
So
I totally understand that.
If I can't explore that, then I need to go back to the chalkboard and figure some shit out.
Yeah.
You know? So
I totally get what you're
saying.
Keeps
knee barring me as I try to pass her guard.
Yeah, it's just it's scary. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to hurt your training partners,
exactly.
And for me specifically, it's that I compete in MMA, so
mm-hmm,
it's like
mm-hmm.
I'm not trained to stop, I'm trained to have someone pull me off.
Yeah.
And in jiu-jitsu, you have to switch that.
Mm-hmm,
you have
mm-hmm.
to train to stop. You
yeah.
have to train to be courteous mm-hmm. to your training partner, because
really
otherwise
finesse,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, I mean, I don't want to break my toys.
Right.
You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, 'cause you don't have anything to play with.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's, like, the standard that I try to hold myself to, you know? that we hold ourselves to as martial artists is like finding that perfect balance of not breaking the training partner, but making it to where they have to tap, you know?
Right.
Because it's like, that's a fine line.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel you.
It's very, I think it's much more difficult because I've done like the catch and release type thing and I didn't see as much growth. So it's like, I think I personally need to find where that line is, like find the perfect application of this arm lock, joint lock, whatever it is, until they're tapping. I can feel where the joint needs to go before it breaks. And then that way in competition, it's like, I know I need to go past that quickly to make them tap fast, you know, and do something awesome for the audience. But in training, I find that perfect application and force myself to really practice finesse and all of that.
All right, so look, training partners, all ukes, like, Troy's going to come at you. He's not going to break you, but you will be fearful for your life.
I will try to submit you.
Piss your pants. So we have talked for about 40 minutes about jiu-jitsu and what you do to prepare for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So what actually got you into jiu-jitsu? Like, how did you start it?
That's a very good question. And a lovely segue. You're an awesome interviewer. I was getting in... let's take a step back, perhaps.
Okay.
I got very heavily into drugs and alcohol, like, kind of early on.
Okay.
Started...
I mean, millennial, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, so that's, like, what we do. Where were we? Drugs and alcohol.
No, you're telling me how you got into jiu-jitsu.
Yes, we took a step back for... Yeah, so I got into trouble as a kiddo, experimenting with drugs and alcohol, which led to a lot of physical altercations. I was getting in a lot of fights.
You got to stand up for your weed.
True, you know. If they shorted
can't
me,
protect
like,
itself.
A .2, we were fighting, for sure.
A Cudahoe.
Yeah, which is like $2. But I would fight over $2 because that may have been all I had. So, you know, lots of fights, which led me to want to learn how to fight better because I got beat up by a dude that trained. What was his name? Cameron something. Thank you, Cameron. I can't remember your full name. It'll come
to me. It's all right. Just the first name.
But
I mean,
Cameron,
you can name your first child Cameron.
Beat the fuck out of me to where I had like two eyes that wouldn't open. Like, my eyes were swollen shut for a whole day. After that day, I had eyes, they opened back up. But yeah.
You have eyes now. Yes. They are fully functional.
Eyes, and they're pretty. But yeah. So, yeah, Cameron, whatever his name is, beat the fuck out of me. It was like kind of a funny story. So we went to this mud pit because that's where everyone fought at. And these two guys that were supposed to fight didn't show up.
That's so Fight Club.
It was. Yeah, we actually had something called Beatdown Broadcast.
Was this in high school?
This was in high school. And we had like a channel where we would post all of the fights because we had like a fight ring sort of where we would have like this guy would call this guy out. They would fight. We would post the video. So it was kind of gangster. And it was before the whole Never Back Down shit. So who knows? Maybe they based the movie on us. I don't know. But we were sort of
that is some Midwest corn fed ass shit right
it was,
there.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Yes. So that was like kind of the weekend thing to do. Some, you know, just after school we would get together, who's fighting today? This guy and this guy. Who's got the video camera? Let's post it. Hopefully Dana White will hit us up. You know, we'll do that whole thing.
Okay, so you wanted to be an MMA fighter.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was the first time that I had, like, been there because it was my buddy who kind of started the whole thing. So I show up, and the two guys that are supposed to fight don't show up. And we're all
bitches.
Like, what the fuck? So everyone pools their money. There's, like, $60. Whoever will fight gets the $60. So I walk out there first.
Okay.
After ripping this bong that was right there, I take a big old rip, walk out to the middle. So I'm just waiting. This mountain of a person walks out.
Yes.
Cameron something walks out. Tall, like 6'4", 6'5", trained MMA, probably not very much, because looking back on the footage, he wasn't like incredible, but
hold on, this footage still exists,
yeah, somewhere. Okay. Yeah, it all might right. even still be on YouTube. It someone was beat down broadcast
find on it
yeah so
continue your story. Cameron walks out, the mountain from Game of Thrones, walks out.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so a picture of the mountain. He walks out. I immediately try to throw a big horrible right hand, totally
looping
telegraphed
haymaker.
Looping haymaker, the only punch that I really knew. He parries and comes on with like a 20 punch combination and backs me into a car to where my head bounces off of the car as he's punching me. And then the owner of the car is like, "Stop, you're messing up my window." No one's worried about my head or my face. But they were worried about the car. Get off the car, get off the car. Because he stops punching
That's
me and I'm leaning
car.
On the car. But I get some blood on it, so they have to move me off of the car. Like, "Stop, you're bleeding on my car." I'm in bad shape. One of my buddies, Sam Collier, had to take me to the store. I didn't get any of the money, by the way. Someone gave me $5 for ice, and Cameron took all the rest.
Okay.
So, fair enough. He won.
$5.
Yeah,
$5. It's like ice and some Fritos.
Exactly. For an excellent lesson. I think I got icy.
That's a life lesson. Like, that got you. This is what made Troy Trilzarian.
Yeah, exactly.
This pivotal moment of $5, ice,
and
a car
and
beating.
Some confidence, you know, and got me fighting Cameron. And so that led to two big swollen shut black eyes.
Holy shit.
I told everyone that I had ran into a door. Well, my parents, everyone else knew, all the kids at school knew.
Right.
No one believed me that I ran into a door either.
But, I mean, they didn't persist, right?
Exactly. You know, who wants to know?
Boys will be boys.
Exactly. But, yeah, so that was my first fight. And then I went to 805 Fight Club with Josh McCorder and Josh Crosby, the two dudes that kind of were like, "Hey, you know, if you want to learn how to get better at this," because they were the ones running Beatdown Broadcast. They're like, "You know, come to the Fight Club and we'll show you a set." And they beat the fuck out of me every time I went in there. I remember the first time I went in, I took so many punches to the stomach that I couldn't shit for 2 weeks. Yeah, I thought that I might, like, die from not being able to shit because my stomach hurt so bad.
Wow.
So, yeah, the morning shit was off for 2 whole weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just bad. I was just full of shit.
No.
Still am.
Yeah.
Stop
that.
But yeah, so it kind of just progressed, and I went away for treatment for drugs and alcohol for like 7-8 months, came back, and 805 Fight Club had been bought by Seth Norman and Janie Meadows.
Okay.
So I go in, is this still 805? Yeah, we bought, and so then...
And then Seth beat the shit out of you that was packed in there,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So,
got it.
Massive shit, the size of a dwarf, like off Game of Thrones, like that little guy.
Oh shit!
What's his name?
Game of Thrones.
I forget.
Oh god! Everyone's gonna be screaming at their phones right now. Like Tyrion.
Yes. So,
yes.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't watch Game of Thrones, unfortunately.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
1%.
The one person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I took a shit his size, kind of looked like him, and trained with Seth and Janie ever since.
Awesome.
You know, there's lots of times, at the beginning it was still kind of Wild West, you know, I was getting beat up by older people a lot. A dude named Tyler Shin, that probably a lot of you listening to this
the,
one know.
The MMA fighter,
yeah. He, like, kind of bullied me a lot and fucked me up. I was still kind of a young kid, and he did some dirty kind of stuff and beat me up pretty good. And, you know, some other guys or whatever. But I eventually, you know, through training hard, through him going other places and not training as hard, I was able to fight him at Fight to Win. And
you submitted him, right?
I didn't submit him, unfortunately.
But you won.
Yeah. I beat him decisively. And got to kind of make a mockery of him a little bit.
I think
bit.
It was overwhelmingly decisive,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he just kind of ran from me the whole time. So it was nice to see that come full circle. You know, there was a few others that picked on me who I haven't been able to pull their card yet, but it'll happen.
It's just a matter of time.
I'm coming for you, grape ape. You know who you are.
All right. Yeah. We'll call out. You gotta have it in there.
Exactly. It's not the first time I've called him out. He ain't ready for it, but...
I don't think he ever will be.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Revel's having a crazy dream. What do you think he's doing in his dream?
I don't know.
Motorboating another dog's ass.
Hey, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. No, you.
Oh, she's jealous now. Right. She's like, don't pet him.
Stop it.
That is incredible.
He snores too. It's really funny. So this is now the interview has turned.
Oh my god.
And has gone to my dogs again.
The best thing ever.
They always take them.
Yeah.
They're
good. So entertaining.
They are. They yes. They should have their own podcast. Just pie going, ha.
Oh.
All the whole
and then
time.
Rebel. Still going. What is he doing? Oh my god.
I don't know, but he is finding something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
That was awesome.
That is insane. I am just, like, super enthralled by your stories, and there's so much that I want to ask you, but I feel like we would be talking for hours, and you have a hot date tonight.
Maybe.
And I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I just have a couple more questions. Like, so... If you were to put out a message, the last message you will ever put out for anyone to remember you by,
yeah,
what would you say?
What would my message to the world be? I love asking people this, but answering it is, you know, actually about as hard as I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, it's an easy question to answer, and it's also not, because there's a lot of things that I would like to say, but I think the easiest... way to say it would just be to love each other. Like, I think if we all just loved each other, that the world would be a much better place, because at the root of everything, whether we're jealous with each other or, you know, unhappy about this or that, whatever causes us to butt heads, if we just all loved each other, then that sounds like so hippie-ish. I don't know if I like that.
Just fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
I am not that much of a hippie.
Hate
like,
each other.
Look, listen, when I go into that ring, when I step on that stage, I do not love you.
Yeah.
I am going to fucking ruin you. Yeah.
For 5 to 10 minutes, I hate you. But after that, I love you again. Even though that sounds hippie-ish, that's probably my message to the world, you know? Love each other. Be cool to one another. That whole thing, the whole cliche, treat your neighbor as yourself. I think all that stuff is good.
There's one of my neighbors that I really like. I've told Cody like I'm gonna burn down his house.
Yeah.
And make it look like it like insurance fraud. Like he'll come out with money. It's fine.
He will.
He got Fritos.
Fritos. And wine. And
so love your neighbor.
I didn't need it.
I
should have warned you about that. That's my fault. It's just the handle. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't do it.
No, it was already coming.
Okay,
out.
So yeah, for the listeners, totally Cody walked in with Troy's handle to his door.
That's
of
not
his
that
car.
Bad.
Because
a little duct tape, super glue.
All right, Troy Chilzerian, you are the subject of your own podcast.
I know.
How does it feel?
It felt good.
Felt
like
good?
Maybe I got some good stuff out there. Hopefully you guys enjoy it.
I really think that people are going to respect you so much more listening to just a little bit of your story. I feel like there's so much more. There's so many layers. You're like an onion.
Ogres are like onions.
And you're strong as an ogre, too. Stop
Cody
it.
Cody is strong as an ogre.
I really think that, like, I see you in a different light. And I've already respected you. Like, we had a little bit of beef early on, but we've, like, squashed that. Mm-hmm. And I've always seen you as my younger brother. I've always seen you as my teammate and my equal. Mm-hmm. But now I respect you as... as an adult, as a person, you know what I mean? Like, you're...
Don't get carried away.
You're a fucking... No, you're a fucking, like, contributor to this society. You're molding lives. Like, you are literally someone's hero right now. Someone looks up to you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right?
Crazy stuff.
Yeah. Fuck.
Pidos.
Pidos. I do. And you know, like... A lot of older people look up to you too, which is really weird. You know what I mean? Like, there are people that are seeking your advice on this death trap, this death game. it's super, super enlightening, and you should be proud of yourself. You've done a lot in a very, very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So thank you for being your own guest. And thank you for allowing
me to be your host. This was awesome.
This was awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed the whiskey.
Man, I definitely enjoyed it very much.
And, maybe you know... Too much.
I may become a whiskey drinker now. Who knows?
We will show you the way. Whatever it may be, we'll fucking find a way, and we'll go on this journey together.
Hell yeah.
All right. So that's it. You want to say some closing statements?
Closing statements. Yeah, thank you to everyone that's listening.
Sponsor Spotlight.
Oklahoma Martial Arts Academy can be your home for self-defense tactics, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, mixed martial arts, boxing, Muay Thai, and much more. With classes throughout the day and week, we offer self-discipline with an accommodating schedule. For ages 3 and up, partake in classes, be a part of the team with Black Belt Professor Seth Norman and Brown Belt Janie Meadows, all in all, great people. Make the change today. We're located inside of Key Health Fitness at 14701 North Kelly Avenue in Edmond, Oklahoma. Or you can call us at 405-816-7242. See you on the mats. Oss.
Shout out to the awesome folks at Hemp Connects, my CBD sponsor out of Boulder, Colorado, run by Matt and Courtney Chandler, awesome people with a vision for health and wellness. A few of the products that I use every day are the tincture oil, ranging from 500 to 1,000 milligrams of full spectrum CBD. You just apply a few drops under the tongue and you're ready to go. I like to do it at the beginning of my day and at the end of my day to help sleep and to help mood, as well as inflammation and things like that. Another option are the chill pills, which come in a pack of 30, 25 milligram active CBD capsules. Awesome if the oil is not your thing. So those are really good as well. Also, I like the Agape Body Spray, which is a topical rub that is hemp infused with 500 milligrams of CBD, really good for localized pain. So check them out at hempconnects.com/jiu-jitsu. Awesome people with a great cause. Thank you.
All right, everybody, here we go. 1, 2, 3. My name is Dr. Jeff Ajazi. I'm a practicing chiropractor in Edmond, Oklahoma. I've been practicing for a little over 8 years. My practice is at 3560 South Boulevard, Suite 100. Come check us out. We're here to take care of you.
We just wanted to plug Green Strength real quick. The founder of Green Strength, Lucius Christopher Tyree, did I say that right?
The fourth.
Any nutritional or strength and conditioning needs, he is the physical culturist around here. So be sure to hit him up, pick his brain, follow him on all of his social media stuff. He shares dope shit all the time.
You guys can find me on Instagram. It's Green Strength IV, as in Green Strength 4. And then my website is greenstrengthhq.com. And you can find me there. You can reach out if you ever have any questions or anything. And holler at me.
So, yeah, that's a wrap.